This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, live with you on a Monday, the 20th of December. Good to be with you today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll definitely touch on the Potter trial. It's now in jury deliberations. I don't think they've come on. They've come to a decision yet. They went to jury deliberations right around noon today. So we'll give you an update on the closing statements, the jury instructions, and where they're at right now. And if we do have breaking news, we'll make sure we let you know about that as we go through the show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll say hi to Patrick here in just a minute. But starting us off today is the Director of Infectious Disease Epidemiology Prevention and Control Division over at the Minnesota Department of Health. Chris Ayersman is kind enough to join us once again to talk about the fight against coronavirus in the state of Minnesota. Director, thank you very much. I appreciate the time as always.
Thank you for having me.
My absolute pleasure. I'm going to start off with a positive if I can. For a while there, and I don't know if it's still the case, Minnesota was leading the nation in booster shots. And it was a sign of a great success of that rollout of that program.
Actually, Minnesota continues to lead the nation. We were
nice.
We have been number one for the 65 plus population for booster doses. So we were leading in that, and then we were second behind Vermont, which is not necessarily a bad place to be. So we were second for our 18 plus and our 50 plus population. So we continue to do really well with booster doses, and I do want to take the opportunity to say, if you haven't gotten a booster and you're eligible, please do take advantage of that.
And we should mention that in the state of Minnesota, the governor made the decision and the Department of Health made the decision to expand this out. I believe is it 16 and older can get the booster shot?
Yes, now everyone 16 and older can receive a booster, and actually that was approved both by the FDA and the ACIP. So it's all good to go on the science side as well. Just want to acknowledge that, you know, we've talked about the fact that for anyone 18 and older, you can mix and match with the booster. So for instance, I received the Pfizer as my primary series and I got Moderna as my booster. If you're 16 or 17, you can only receive Pfizer simply because that's the only vaccine that's currently authorized for those ages.
Okay.
So that's the only difference for 16 to 17-year-olds. But otherwise, everybody 16 and older can and should get a booster.
And I gladly got my Pfizer one over at the Veterans Administration. Thank you, U.S. Army. I was able to get that. And I'm staying with the science element. You talked about the medical science. I saw the stat. I want to ask you if you're aware if this is true, that if you are vaccinated and you have a booster shot, you are 20 times it's 20 times less likely to die of coronavirus than someone who's unvaccinated. Is that correct?
Yes, that has been the case.
Wow.
Particularly as we've looked at the Delta variant. Now with the Omicron variant circulating, that has changed the game a little bit in terms of protection from the vaccines, but it's more related to developing infection versus hospitalizations and death. It really, the data suggests that being vaccinated and with a booster, that you still have strong protection against hospitalizations and death, but the Omicron variant is better at evading the protection of the vaccines when it comes to just causing disease. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're really encouraging people to get that booster dose, because it really bumps up your neutralizing antibody level, the level of those antibodies that are going to help your body, you know, fight off Omicron. And so, so we are encouraging people to really take advantage of that booster.
Let's talk a little about Omicron, because it is one of those cases where, and this is, sounds very familiar to when you and I talked in the past about Delta variant, when that first came on the horizon. We've learned more about Omicron. It sounds like it's more contagious, but at least from some of the initial reports I have seen, it doesn't seem like it's as a serious as an infection as the Delta variant. Is that true?
Right. So what we're seeing is it's highly infectious. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're seeing a lot of transmission from Omicron. The early data suggests that, yes, it does seem like what we've seen so far is, you know, fewer serious cases. But what I think we have to keep in mind is two things related to that. One is that we have, you know, Delta still circulating and Omicron coming on board. So we've kind of got two things happening at once, plus we have influenza out there.
Yes.
And our healthcare systems are really, really stretched at this point. So we want to still take Omicron seriously, because even if it's less serious, if more and more people get it, you know, it still has the potential to impact a lot of people because of that more widespread transmission. So it's kind of a good news, bad news situation, but definitely it's very much more transmissible. And like I said, we're seeing that some of the preliminary data suggests that, you know, the vaccines, their ability to keep you from getting disease is less than what we saw with Delta, but still offers protection against the hospitalization and death, which is ultimately, you know, what we're trying to avoid. And that's why we really have been saying it's important when you're out and when you're, you know, socializing with people and you're out in public, you know, that you are masking. So like for me, even, you know, fully vaccinated, fully boosted, I still, you know, mask when I'm in an indoor setting away from home, just to have that additional layer of protection.
As you bring that up, I want to mention something that concerns me about this. Quite a few things concern me about this. But, I mean, I've been to the malls. I was at the post office today, and I've got, you know, a person behind me not wearing a mask, mouth breather, great. And, you know, and not 6 feet away from me, you know, right on my, you know, on my caboose. It's kind of one of those things where I look at what's going on right now, and I'm very concerned, not only because of the flights, because obviously this was a concern when coronavirus first came on the scene. It was like, if we didn't shut down the airports in time, and henceforth it got everywhere fairly quickly. But as well, I had friends that went and saw the Spider-Man movie, and they were in movie theaters that were jam-packed. The movie made a ton of money, and so the theaters were all jam-packed, and they said there was about 50-50 people wearing masks. It is something that if we're not taking this seriously, Omicron's going to be everywhere by the time we get done with the Christmas holidays.
Yes, and we're seeing, I mean, there's a lot of it, and like I said, it really spreads quickly, and the expectation is based on the time it takes to, you know, kind of double the number of cases, it will probably be dominant in the U.S. in just the next few weeks. Because even in Minnesota, we're reporting we have 8 confirmed cases right now, but we, you know, expect to have more, you know, specimens coming off sequencing tomorrow. So we'll probably get some more cases. And we know that there are many, many more cases circulating, because these last 6 cases that we identified, they had not traveled outside of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So they got it from someone else. So that tells us that there is, you know, and there has been community transmission. So it's definitely time for us to take, you know, Omicron seriously. And I think there's ways that you can, you know, live your life, and still be cautious, or choose kind of make safer choices. What concerned me a little bit was talking with some folks, you know, this weekend that I would consider to be pretty forward thinking, you know, fully vaccinated, boosted, but they really were talking about the pandemic in the past tense. And
yeah.
I thought, as much as we want it to be over, we are still in the middle of it. So, yeah, I think that's really important for the listeners to know that, you know what, you know, you don't have to just lock yourself away, but you really have to think about the choices that you make when you're going out and about.
Chris Ayersman is joining us, the Director of Infectious Disease Epidemiology Prevention and Control Division over at the Minnesota Department of Health. As you bring up Omicron here, and one of the things I want to make sure I downplay as well, something I said, which is it seems to be less severe. But the reality is if you're unvaccinated, that, you know, that less severe is a wide ranging description, because once again, you're getting coronavirus, you're going to get sick. And as we've seen, our hospitals have been stretched to the core as far as their capacity of being able to handle the amount of patients who are infected or in the ICU. The reality is that even though that some people are trying to downplay Omicron, the reality is if you're not vaccinated, it's just as serious as anything else, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want to, if you're not vaccinated, you really want to think again about, you know, maybe it's time to change my mind. you know, you might want to think about that. But yes, I mean, Omicron is still, you know, a serious illness. And if you're not vaccinated, you really have no protection. I think, you know, even though we talk, I mean, I want to be, you know, candid in that we're seeing that, you know, the effectiveness of the vaccine is less with Omicron. It's not zero. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important. If you're not vaccinated, it's zero. And so you've got to keep that in mind as well.
I want to as well, you know, step away from Omicron for a second here and talk about just the Thanksgiving went through, because am I crazy or is it was incredibly similar to what we saw in 2020 rather, that you had, you know, this right before Thanksgiving, it kind of ramped up. We ended up right after Thanksgiving having a lot of cases. And although the case counts are still high and the ICU, the hospitalization rates are still high, it has been coming down since the beginning of the month of December. Now, once again, understanding Omicron adds a new context to this, but didn't we see a similar layout of what happened last year around Thanksgiving again this year?
Well, I mean, we certainly have had, you know, we saw lots and lots of cases in November. That was kind of the high point or low point, as you look at it, in terms of cases. And as you said, you know, we've had high case numbers, but they've kind of equilibrated a little bit. And what we don't know is, will Omicron change that? And will we start to see those numbers go back up? You know, in terms of, you know, what did the Thanksgiving holiday, how did that play in and things? You know, we saw some higher numbers after that, but it's been a really a kind of a difficult month to really assess what's going on, because we had holidays with lower testing, then we've had a couple of snowstorms, and then people are really focused on getting ready for the upcoming winter holidays, and so yeah, I think it's just a little bit of an anomaly this month in terms of, are people focused on testing? Now, I think there'll be a lot of testing this week just as people anticipate gathering together.
Mm-hmm. One of the things as well I wanted to mention was a story that came on out where a doctor, I believe it was from the Mayo Clinic, made the point. He said, we have had people dying in the state of Minnesota from non-COVID reasons because they can't get into an ICU unit or on a ventilator because of this overwhelming nature. Talk a little bit about that, because once again, it's the far-reaching impact. It's not just COVID that's being affected here, that we have on any given day in the state of Minnesota, heart attacks, strokes, car accidents, you know, people fall off a ladder. They need to get into an ICU unit. And we have hospital after hospital that's full to the rim right now that doesn't have any space left to get anyone in.
Right. I mean, it's unfortunate that people who need care for other reasons can't get it because of the crush due to COVID. And so I think that's something for people to keep in mind, and why it's so important for all of us to, you know, do what we can, is because it's not just related to COVID, but it's related to healthcare in general and making sure that we have access to it. But it's true. And I've heard from many people, myself, you know, friends and relatives who have had a health encounter that was delayed, you know, in the emergency room because, you know, for a stroke-like illness or a heart-related condition that was delayed because of the crush of COVID. And so that's, you know, that's concerning. And that's, that again, that's part of the reason why it's so important that all of us, vaccinated or not, are doing what we can to minimize the chance that we end up needing that type of care. We want to make sure that our healthcare systems are able to provide care for people when they need it. And if we can take steps to make sure that we're not needing it, if we absolutely don't have to, that will benefit everyone.
And I don't want to get too much into the inner workings of the Minnesota Department of Health, but have there been any discussions you guys have had? I mean, to be blunt, I thought when Governor Walz was running the state under emergency powers, under the conditions that we had, I thought he did a very good job. The Minnesota Department of Health did a fantastic job. You saved a lot of human beings' lives, which is, at the end of the day, that you guys are doing exceptional work over there. But has there been any discussion about possibly bringing back the, you know, emergency powers, in the sense being that this is still pretty bad and we're not past the worst part we were at last year, but we still are having very high levels of hospitalizations, very high levels of transmission. Has that, those discussions had all taken place?
Well, we certainly, you know, have talked quite a bit about what Omicron might be and, you know, what steps could be taken, you know, to address it. I think, you know, the decisions about emergency powers and those kinds of things mean my job is to provide data on what we're seeing in the science and things. And then those discussions are happening, you know, at a different level. But I think it's fair to say that everyone's taking the current situation very seriously, you know, and looking at what we're seeing in our healthcare settings.
Final question for you here, and it's not a question. I'm just going to give you the floor at this point, because once again, it's at this point, we have to implore everyone, whether or not, for whatever reason, you've not gotten vaccinated, now is the time for you to start getting vaccinated, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, it doesn't matter, you know, if you haven't done it up until this point. But certainly consider it in light of, you know, what we're seeing. I mean, just some examples of the impact that vaccination can make in a positive way, and recognize that this is obviously looking at what we saw with Delta. But there was a federal study that looked at the number of deaths and hospitalizations that would have been would have occurred, or how much higher they would have been without any vaccination. And when we looked at that, those proportions, so death would have been 3.2 times higher, wow, hospitalizations would have been 4.9 times higher if we didn't have vaccination. In Minnesota, that would have been an additional 10,000 deaths and an additional 125,000 hospitalizations. So just the people that have, you know, been vaccinated, you've made that difference already. We've saved 10,000 deaths and 125,000 hospitalizations. And when we look at, you know, our hospitalization rate and how many people are being admitted to the hospital, and we consider, yes, we know we're going to see some proportion of cases as a vaccine breakthrough, no vaccine is 100% effective. But when we look at, okay, our average daily, 7-day average for daily admissions is 180. When we consider, you know, that 168 of those admissions are for people who are not vaccinated. So again, you know, huge burden on the healthcare system, and it's something we control. There's so many things in life we can't control. And, you know, masking and getting vaccinated are things we can. So, you know, for sure mask. And if you haven't been vaccinated, think about whether or not now's the time to do that. And if you have been vaccinated and you haven't got your booster, take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris Ayersman, once again, is the Director of Infectious Disease Epidemiology Prevention and Control Division at the Minnesota Department of Health. I say this every time, and I'll say it again. Bless you. Bless everyone in that Department of Health. As much criticism as you guys have gotten, it's unjustified. You guys have been brilliant. You have saved lives. You have prevented people from going into the hospital for months on end, and you have saved people from having to go bankrupt from medical bills. I mean, all these things you guys have done, you deserve an insane amount of credit. I am so grateful you people people are running that Department of Health, because without you there, this state would be in much worse condition. So thank you very, very much for all that you've done.
Well, thank you for those kind words, and wish you a good rest of your day.
Thank you very much, and all my best for the holidays there. Director Chris Erisman, once again, the Infectious Disease Epidemiology Prevention and Control Division at the Minnesota Department of Health, kind enough to join us today. Let's take a break, come on back, unpack a few things that she had said. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Thank you very much to the director for joining us today. Holy cow, is she fantastic. And once again, with the vaccinations, what if without the vaccinations, we would have had 10,000 more dead in the state. We would have had 125,000 more hospitalizations. Get vaccinated. And it was interesting. I saw this and I could not find the quote. I saw this as early this morning and I went back to try to find it. It was up on Twitter, and you know how that disappears once you scroll past it once. There was a person, I think it was in the New York Magazine, and was making either New Yorker or New York Magazine, and was making the argument that it was inappropriate for Joe Biden and the White House to take a much more aggressive tone towards, for God's sakes, go get vaccinated. And that, and the mentality was, I mean, we're talking today. This is not something that they were writing 8 months ago, but today saying, oh, well, you know, it's not going, you're going to turn off a lot of people with such a heavy-handed tone. When have we turned the people on? It's not like we were out there for months and saying, hey, get vaccinated, and everyone was running to get vaccinated. No. You have people already who are sticking their heels in. The problem is not Joe Biden's pleading with people to go get vaccinated. The problem is the idiots who see. They see their neighbors getting sick. They see their family members getting sick. They see their friends getting sick. And they sit there and say, I'm going to go get more ivermectin and put it up my backside. They see people they already have seen people who have lost their house because of medical debt, or have lost their job, or lost a loved one, and they still don't want to do it. So if someone has to go up to him and, hey, stupid, go get vaccinated, dummy. And you're like, how dare you take that tone? Shut up. We're trying to save these people's lives, even though they think the libs are trying to own us again. No, we're trying to save these people. Stop with this false sense of, oh, well, you know, you got to be nicer to them or else they're going to be a little bit cranky. I'd rather they be a little cranky with me and vaccinated than me basically saying, hey, gee willikers, guys, you know, I know we've asked for 10 months about a million times, can you please get vaccinated? But could you do it? Because you know what? That guy who hasn't gotten vaccinated and who's heard all those pleas and those begging and all that stuff, they're not going to all of a sudden turn around and say, well, they asked me for a 5,000th time, so I think I'm going to do it now. Come on. It is still a mess out there. Let me repeat that. It is still a mess out there. So this idea of, we need to be nice or else. Dude, your or else is you die from COVID. Okay? I'm going to repeat the same thing I have said since the beginning of this freaking mess. I don't want you dead. I don't want you sick. I don't want you bankrupt for the rest of your lives. If you want to be on the other side of that argument, fine. You're a stupid moron. Get vaccinated. And like I said, I this weekend there was like six stories where, you know, devout anti-vax Republican dead. And you're like, jeez. And the family, and the reason why they all kind of came to light was because in many cases, the family was trying to prevent anyone from finding out that the person had died from COVID. After they taunted the idea of it and didn't get vaccinated and stuff. It just is. I can't help you. If you're so offended by me calling you stupid because you haven't gotten vaccinated yet, well, oh, boo-hoo. Go get vaccinated, stupid. Seriously, go get vaccinated. I don't want you dead. And it shouldn't take us having to have a tornado to scour your town off the face of the freaking map before you realize
maybe Joe Biden isn't the worst guy. Maybe he is looking out for me.
It shouldn't have to take that. No, you fools that are still unvaccinated and refuse to get vaccinated think there's some sort of conspiracy theory involving millions of people in different states, in different jobs, in different worlds, that they're all communicating. Oh, and they're all thinking, stop, stop. You're a delusional nutbag. You're a delusional nutbag. Go get vaccinated. Save your life. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do return, we'll get into the Minnesota coronavirus update for today. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. The progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, we'll spotlight Chris Arisman as well. Look for that to interview up on the SoundCloud page and iTunes and all those locations. 952-946-6205. We're going to see if my voice holds out today because Patrick is aware. I was here for a little bit earlier today. We finished recording out the shows for the holidays today. And I mean, they're humdingers. I mean, they're just fantastic interviews, top to bottom. And starting on Wednesday, we got brand new to you content all through the holidays right here. And I'll be actually back to do a show live on the 30th. But just we got brand new shows for you through the holidays. We record them. All you people that wanted me to do a two-hour show, yeah, no, I got to do a two-hour. I'd record 10 hours. 10 hours of radio. 10 hours. It's a lot of radio, man. So it's all recorded. It's all set to go. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to start it on Wednesday with Dolores Pringle from the Penn Center. That's their first interview. That starts on at the 4 o'clock hour then. So make sure you're with us. Brand new to you content all the way through the holidays. So you can just keep it on AM 950 in the 4 o'clock hour. We're glad to have you with us. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Minnesota coronavirus update for today. The Minnesota Department of Health includes 3,397 newly reported cases, 45 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll is now 10,056. The figures on Monday relate to the 24-hour reporting period ending at 4 a.m. on Friday, so weekend data is not included in the Tuesday report, until the Tuesday report, I should say. Minnesota's test positivity rate in the 7-day rolling average through December 10th is 9.6. Anything over 10 puts Minnesota in the high risk threshold for community transmission. This is what I mean by it's coming down. It was at 11.9 2 weeks ago. 11.9. We're down to 9.6. Should remind you, though, we were down to less than 1% in late spring, early summer. So, it's, you know, if we don't take it seriously, it gets out of control and gets out of control fast. I'll get back to this in a little bit, but it's, you know, it's a lot's going to depend on how the holidays play out, especially with Omicron. A lot of it's going to depend on if that number stays down or going down, or if we're actually going to start going up in number again. Through December 17th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 1,485. That's down from the 1,554 reported on December 16th. Of those hospitalized, 366 people are in intensive care, down from 374. 1,119 are in non-ICU care. That's down from 1,180. So numbers are going in the right direction. I mean, on the, on the non-ICU care, that's down 61 patients. That's a lot. That's down on the intensive care. It's only down 8, but still, we need to open these beds up. Despite the drop in COVID hospitalizations, the latest hospital capacity data shows there are only 24 staffed adult ICU beds available in the entire state, up from 16 on the December 16th, 13 pediatric ICU beds available, which is up from 12. Now, once again, these are through the entire state. So there are some areas where there's far less ICU beds, pediatric ICU beds than other parts of the state. As a matter of fact, pediatric ICU beds, I think the only four regions in the state that have them are Rochester, Twin Cities, Duluth and the Iron Range, and the St. Cloud, Central Minnesota, East Central Minnesota region. And I think those are the only places that have them. The western part of the state doesn't even have one, so. As of December 16th, the state reported that 3,716,459 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, while 3,482,000 276 people have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 1,514,732 third dose booster shots, which is great. Once again, as Director Ayersman mentioned, Minnesota has been, if not leading the country in most categories, it's been second place in the categories. It's been fantastic. Get your booster shot. That's CDC, I brought up that stat. I mean, how about that? If you're unvaccinated, you are 20 times more likely to die from COVID than someone who is vaccinated with a booster shot. 20 times! To put it into perspective, for, you know, say out of 100 people, and this is not a fair number because the numbers don't, you know, it doesn't rational numbers don't work like that. But if for every, if there's 20 people or 100 people who are unvaccinated and they're all sick with COVID, 20 of them would die per one out of the same 100 for a person who is vaccinated with a booster shot. I mean, I like gambling too occasionally, but not like that. Not when your life is on the line. According to the CDC, which cites data from the September 2021, an unvaccinated person was, now this is just someone who's gotten the two doses of vaccine or the one dose that was the one-timer. An unvaccinated person was 5.8 times more likely to get COVID-19, 14 times more likely to die from COVID than someone who's really fully vaccinated, so 20 times more likely to die than someone who's been vaccinated and got the booster shot. 982,000 664. That's the total amount of cases. 982,664. Patrick, I'm wondering if you might be able to help me pull up something here really quick. If you go to bringmethenews.com, there's a public service announcement story about nurses. See if you can get that video ready to go and give me a thumbs up on that, because it's a 30-second PSA that the nurses and doctors up in the Northland have put out here. As a matter of fact, let me read the story at least. The COVID-19 continued stranglehold on hospitals and the threat of rapidly spreading Omicron variant on the horizon. Doctors and nurses in northern Minnesota are urging residents to get vaccinated. Did you find it there? All right. Let's go ahead and why don't you go ahead and play that? All right. If you get the chance.
Here's a reality check. COVID-19 is still here.
Rising cases are straining healthcare resources in our community.
We're all tired.
We are all exhausted.
Know that we are still committed to caring for you.
But we need your help.
We're asking you.
Please.
Get vaccinated.
Get your booster.
Mask up in public.
Social distance.
For you.
Your family.
Our community.
For all of us.
Thank you.
It's very nice. Very nice. And very heartfelt if you look at it. And Patrick, you can attest to this in the video. You just watched the video. Those are looking some very tired doctors and nurses. They look like they're exhausted. I want to make sure we understand what they're saying. Get vaccinated, get your booster, wear a mask, social distance. Can I bring up the fact that I am getting damn tired of maskless mouth breathers standing 2 inches behind me in a freaking line? What are you doing? I mean, I can't stop you from being stupid. I can't. I can't do that. But at the same time, can you not be so stupid near me? Please? Dear Lord, at least have some. I want you to put it in this perspective. You know nothing of anyone who's around you. You don't know if they've got an immune compromised condition. They've got asthma. They've got diabetes. You don't know. And so here you are breathing all over everybody because you don't care about yourself. For God's sakes, act like you're part of a society as opposed to a spoiled little brat, will you? Wear the mask, or if you're not going to wear the mask, at least get off my ass. How about that? Dear Lord, I can't. It's just the amount of people that I'm, like, you go to a store, it's like, Jesus, get away from me. I'm owning you. I'm owning you. No, you're just being an ass. You're just being a complete ass. Stop it. If you don't want to wear a mask, well, then make sure you got the 6 feet between you and anyone else. I'm not going to tell you not, but I almost want to slug you if you're sitting right on my tail like that. Dear Lord. Buy me dinner if you're going, well, never mind. I just, you know, you hear that PSA, social distance, wear a mask. You're, I don't like, I'm selfishly a jerk. Merry Christmas. I love Jesus. I'm selfish. Yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Like I said, you don't know a damn thing about anyone around you. You could be sitting there breathing on someone who has an actual medical crisis. And you probably don't have the slightest clue if you're sick or not. Maybe you do. Maybe you know you're sick and you're just taking all sorts of medication and hoping it doesn't come back and bite you. But anyway, let me get back to the story about the public service announcement. We're all tired. We're all exhausted. Real doctors and nurses from Northland say in a 30-second PSA released on Monday, you know we're still committed to caring for you, but we need your help. The ad, which you can watch, comes from a partnership between Essential Health, St. Luke's, and St. Louis County Public Health. TV stations KBJR, KDHL, WDIO, and Fox 21 all agreed to donate airtime to run the PSA. An audio version will air over the radio at no charge via Midwest Communications and Town Square Media. Story North Productions produced the spot, and in it, actual doctors, nurses, and public health staff pleaded with the public to get vaccinated, get a booster, wear a mask in public, and socially distance. For you, for your family, for our community, the spot says, for all of us, Minnesota as a whole continues to report thousands of new COVID infections and dozens of new deaths every day, despite widespread availability of vaccines that have been shown to drastically reduce the odds of severe illness. High case numbers are overwhelmed area hospitals, the issue compounded by a long brewing staffing shortage. Our doctors and nurses want to help people and are as committed as ever, but we're also seeing tremendous burnout. We need people to realize just how serious the situation has become, said St. Luke's infectious disease specialist Dr. Andrew Thompson in a news release. Amy Westbrook, director of the St. Louis County's Public Health Division, in a news release called it a crisis situation. None of this is easy, and we're all tired and want to be done with this. But as long as we're dealing with a highly contagious virus, we need everyone to cooperation to move past this. Remember what Director Erisman said. Don't let your friends tell you it's over. Pandemic over. It's not. It's not. It is nowhere near over. And I am just as tired as anyone else at wearing a mask, at socially distancing, at not seeing friends, or when I go see a friend to drop off a gift, having to stand on the other side of the room or something like that. I'm tired of that. I want a normal life again, but I don't want to have a reckless life just because I want something for myself. I have a responsibility to the society as a whole, including the people that are not wearing masks. I don't want you getting sick. That's why I'm wearing mine. Get vaccinated, please, for goodness sakes. COVID is real and is dangerous. Limited bed availability in our hospital is also real and dangerous, said Louis St. George III, public relations manager at Essential Health. The vast majority of our COVID patients are unvaccinated. We can do better. We must do better. Our healthcare workers who have been given so much of themselves over the past 21 months are mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted. Please do your part to slow the spread of the COVID-19 and prevent unnecessary strain on our health care resources and unnecessary suffering. Yes, your suffering. Yours. Now, granted, I'm not going to put it past the fact that these nurses and doctors, God bless every single one of you. Bless every single one of you. You're angels. You're all angels. And anyone working in those hospitals, anyone working in emergency services, you're working in an ambulance, you're just delivering foods to rooms. By God, you're all angels. You're all magnificent. You all deserve a bonus, that's for sure. But the reality is that they're burned out because you're not getting vaccinated. God, how many people have had 6, 7, 8 people in their family get sick, go to the hospital, even die, and finally, well, maybe I'll get vaccinated now. Get vaccinated. And I'll tell you what. Public opinion is long turned on you guys. No one has sympathy for you on your GoFundMe page because those liberals got me COVID. And now I'm facing $150,000 worth of hospital bills. Won't you help me? Well, why don't you get vaccinated? Liberal lies! Oh, God. Oh, God. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. More on the Minnesota coronavirus update when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. The progressive voice of Minnesota from Axios Twin Cities. The rapidly spreading Omicron variant is increasing demand for COVID-19 tests in much of the country. Getting tested before gathering indoors and unmasked with family and friends this week can lower the chance someone will knowingly spread the virus. Minnesotans have plenty of options when it comes to testing. Some state-run sites, including the Minneapolis Convention Center at Roy Wilkins Auditorium in St. Paul, have extended hours this week. Both PCR and rapid antigen tests are available free of charge. You can also order a free saliva test to complete at home via Vault Medical Service partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Note that while the test might arrive quickly, it will likely take a few days for your results. At-home tests remain in stock in many pharmacy chains. You can check availability and reserve a pickup ahead of time at various locations. Just check their own websites. The at-home test add-up and two-pack will cost between $14 and $24 at local stores. They're all eligible for reimbursement if you have cash left in pre-tax health spending account. Pharmacies and clinics across the metro have appointments open for that. So a lot of people trying to get tested before they go on the road for the holidays. So just keep that in mind. Speaking of which, I don't know if you're going to be going on the road too much if you're in the Minnesota Wild. The Wild take to the ice. They'll play Dallas tonight. It will be their last game until they return for the NHL's holiday break on December 27th. Why? On Sunday, the NHL announced that a COVID-19 outbreak involving the Detroit Red Wings has forced them to essentially quarantine the Red Wings and postponed all Detroit games until the holiday break is over, meaning Minnesota's matchup with the Red Wings that was scheduled for this Thursday, December 23rd, is now off. It is the third Wild game postponed due to COVID-19 related issues. Not our team, though. To my knowledge, and Patrick, we haven't had any major outbreaks on our team, have we?
I don't believe so, no. Not since last season.
Not since, okay. Saturday's game against the Florida Panthers was postponed because of a bunch of players in the NHL's health and safety protocols. The same happened last Tuesday, the Wild's game against the Carolina Hurricanes. All in all, the Wild have played just two games in 2 weeks when they return from the holiday break. That is, of course, if more outbreaks don't mess it up further, but they will be well-rested as long as they don't all get COVID. The U.S. hockey has canceled the U.S. Canada women's hockey game scheduled for Monday night at the X, citing concerns around COVID-19. The cancellation was announced at about 1 p.m. Monday, less than 6 hours before the game was to have started. The game was part of the team's pre-Olympic tour through the U.S. and Canada before the Beijing Olympics, which begins on February 4th. Both teams were in St. Paul and practiced Sunday. More than 10,000 people were expected to attend Monday's game with the U.S. roster featuring 9 players from the Minnesota Ties. The next game on the tour is set for January 3rd in Edmonton. We're extremely disappointed not to be able to play the game tonight, U.S. Hockey Executive Director Pat Keller said in a statement. We're thankful for the great support we received in the Minnesota Wild, XL Energy Center, and Minnesota hockey community. We look forward to the next time, but not this year. Not this year because we got like a week left, but yeah, probably not this Olympics. Canada's won, by the way, 4 of the 6 games of their My Why Tour, with 3 other games decided in overtime. 9 players in the Minnesota Ties are on the roster, which recently was reduced to 23 players, the exact size allowed for the Beijing games starting in February. 952-946-6205. So, you know, have I been called up? Am I the starting cornerback or anything for the Vikings-Bears game? Do I have to get to an airport and get over there to Chicago right away?
But I think you're going to be playing for the Bears if you have to go down there.
Not happening. All right. Nothing to our listener, Richard, who's down in Chicago. I'm not playing for the Bears, Richard. Just going to let you know. But yeah, we're down to basically, hey, that guy in the stands looks like he's healthy. Get him on down here. Get vaccinated. Hour 2 of the show that's coming up next. All right, I just saw an Onion headline, which is this is from the Onion. It's him or me, says unhinged Aaron Rodgers, demanding Packers fire team custodian. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you. We are here today and tomorrow. Then I am on vacation. But as I mentioned last hour, and I'll mention a lot tomorrow, Boy, oh boy, do we have some humdingers of some shows ready to go for you. I'm not talking best ofs. I'm not talking fill in host. No, no, no. We have recorded brand new shows ready to go. You've never heard them. They are ready to go starting on Wednesday, running through the holidays. We got brand new to you shows starting Wednesday here on AM 950. So make sure you keep tuning on in. We'll be with you all the holiday season, regular, you know, pulling in regular shows. So enjoy. I got some really great interviews. I had the opportunity, and this one is coming up, I think it's on the 29th, and maybe even on Christmas Eve, if I'm not mistaken. Larry Millett. I'm a huge fan of Larry Millett, the great writer, the architecture and history writer in town, as well as also the mystery writer. Got a full hour with him. A full hour. He was kind enough to take the time. We talked about his history and architectural books in one segment. We talked about his mystery books in another. Just wonderful. Just wonderful. And so I had the opportunity to chat with him. He just one of the interviews we got coming up. You know, some of your favorites. Schechter, Terry Zila, Sven Sundgaard, Jack Rice, all ready to go. All recorded, ready for you through the holidays right here on AM 950. So make sure you're with us. Just, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm very happy with it because, like I said, this was a lot of recording. And so to get all this stuff done, I'm very happy with that. 952-946-6205. Patrick, have you seen Spider-Man yet? Have you gone that way?
Haven't had time yet.
I haven't either. Question, will you go see it in this next few weeks, or would you probably hold off until maybe a few weeks from now?
That's a good question. We'll see what my schedule looks like. If I, I'm like, oh, I don't have anything to do today, maybe I'll go see a movie. But it's not really that high on my list, I guess.
For me, it's the problem I have is this. The reports I'm hearing are people are going into these movie theaters and then they take their mask off like, okay, well, I'm here, it's safe. You're still in a closed room with circulated air. I'm definitely not going to go see it in a prime time, like on 7 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night or in 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But if I do go see it, probably won't be for 2 or 3 weeks. And it will probably be like the first showing on a Sunday, hopefully like a 11, a 10:15 or something like that. You know, it's always nice. I'll tell you what, the Avengers movies, there are many of them. I was able to because they were having so many showings of them. There are many of them, and I get in there at 9:30 on a Sunday. Yes, my own theater, lovely.
I was surprised. That's what happened when I saw the ninth Star Wars movie, which I didn't, but. You know, I went at like 11:30 at night because I was working second shift then. So I was like, oh, it's 11:30. You know, I was surprised. I thought there would be more people there because it was opening night for that movie, I think. And, there might be three other people in the whole theater at 11:30 at night.
It's 11:30 at night. It's like, you don't know what you're going to come across in a movie theater. Why is the floor sticky? I don't know. I don't know. Do not dog on the ninth Star Wars film. Considering all the stuff they had to wrap up, I didn't think it was nearly as bad. Of course, they kind of yada 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 how Palpatine came back. But I mean, I thought it was a fine film.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Okay. And Rosebud was a sled. All right. At least I'm not the guy. Well, Palpatine's back. Of course, they're having the first 5 seconds of the film. It's in the scroll. It's in the scroll they do in the beginning of those Star Wars films. Hey, Palpatine's back. Hey, wow, really? You're just going to drop it in the scrolling words there before a ship goes flying by?
Somehow he's back. We have no idea how.
I love, in one of the greatest mistakes ever in the history of marketing, they decided to announce Palpatine was back on, what was that? What's that video game where they basically launch into the world and you have to fight everyone? Oh.
Was it Fortnite?
Fortnite, thank you. It's Fortnite. They announced it on Fortnite. So basically like 20 people, if you were outside of that special age demographic, you didn't hear about it. But we told everyone on Fortnite, yeah. You can go back to MySpace and tell everyone back there too. I'm not going to hear it. Just FYI. 952-946-6205. The reviews I've heard from the Spider-Man film are it's pretty good. It doesn't surprise me. Box Office Mojo had the numbers here. Let me pull it up here. The numbers for this movie, weekend numbers, $260 million. It's the third biggest grossing opening weekend of all time, which was a bit of a surprise because none of the other movies, and it wasn't like there weren't one or two really anticipated films, but none of the other ones resonates like Spider-Man, which I think is kind of more, you know, it's one of the premier characters they've got in that series. But, $260 million. It's the number one, after a three-day opening weekend, it's the number one movie of the year. I believe Shang-Chi was the number one at 235 prior to that. But, and it's just grossing money left and right. And it's probably going to clear $500 million. I'm probably not going to go and see that in the theaters. But it's a good sign, especially after last week when I was talking with Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks and MST3K, and of course Trace Beaulieu from Mystery Times Theater 3000 and The Mads Are Back. We talked about entertainment and will movies come back? Well, this is a huge sign that, yeah, they will. It just has to be the product you have to deliver. And maybe considering how badly the two musicals this year bombed, the two big anticipated musicals, the In the Heights and West Side Story, both of them, quote unquote, bombed at the box office. I'm just wondering are people not wanting to see musicals right now because, you know, dancing and singing is not something people wanted to go through in the pandemic, but guys beating up villains. Yeah. Okay. Sure. And that's quality entertainment right there. 952-946-6205. Still not. I don't want to be sitting next to that guy. Jeez. At least can you breathe through your nose? Can you at least use the nose? You can use that. That the air goes in and out of that too. You know that? You can close the lips. You're not going to suffocate. No. Breathe just through the nose. You get used to it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So let's get into the Potter trial. After 11 days of testimony and arguments by attorneys, by the way, I'm reading out of the Star Tribune story with Paul Walsh, Rochelle Olson, and Chao Zhang. After 11 days of testimony and arguments by attorneys, jurors in the trial of Kimberly Potter have now been sent to deliberate. Brooklyn Center police officer should be convicted of manslaughter for shooting Dante Wright in the chest as he resisted arrest. After closing arguments, Hennepin Court District Judge Regina Chu went through some of the final instructions and evidence and events review matters before dismissing them to weigh charges of first and second degree manslaughter in connection with Wright's death on April 11th. It's now time to do your job, Chu said, before dismissing the two alternate jurors and leaving the remaining 12 with the task of reaching unanimous verdicts on both counts. Jurors will deliberate until 6 p.m. today. Before being dismissed, as previously ordered through Chu, the jurors will remain sequestered throughout the deliberations. My guess is going to be that these jurors do not want to be sequestered for the holidays. So my guess is we're going to have a verdict sometime this week. Will it happen tomorrow when my last live show? We don't know. But my guess is it's going to be sometime this week. Six women and six men were on the jury. Nine of the juries were white. Two were Asian women, and one is a black woman. Potter is white. Wright was black. Four jurors in their 40s. Three are in their 20s. Two are in their 60s. Two are in their 50s, and one is in her 30s. During closing arguments, Prosecutor Erin Eldridge told jurors, at the heart of this case, it's a very simple case. She said the case is about reckless handling of a firearm and culpable negligence. She drew a deadly weapon. She aimed it. She pointed it at Dante Wright's chest and fired. When it was the defense's turn, which is the truth. I mean, it's I'll get back to that. I'll get back to that thought process here in a second. When it was the defense's turn, Earl Gray hit back at several points the prosecution tried to make. Gray pushed back on the prosecution claims that the defense sent jurors down the rabbit hole of hypotheticals. Yeah, you did. If.
That's what she did. Well, if he would have driven away, and if that police officer is dangling and clutches for life, well, thank God she shot her. Well, no, that's what you were doing. You were doing hypotheticals the entire time. That was your justification. Well, your justification was it was an accident. Well, but thank God she did, because, you know, he could have had a nuclear bomb in his pants. I mean, paraphrasing. But still. It was prosecutors who were misleading in playing video. He said it was prosecutors who labeled misleading playing the video from Potter's body camera in slow motion rather than regular speed. Well, what happened on the camera happened on the camera. So, yeah. Also, Gracie Potter indeed saw the fear in Sergeant Johnson's face because body-worn camera is here, patting his midsection, and his head is over here, she continued, raising one hand. Eldridge used Potter's own words on body-worn camera video to argue that she could not have possibly seen any concern in the face of Sergeant Michael Johnson that he would have been dragged down the street by a fleeing right before she pulled the trigger. If, by the way. And this is what the prosecutor was going after the defense, and they should have. Gray reminded the jury that they must presume Potter innocent and find her guilty. And to find her guilty, they must determine that the state proved each and every element of the charges behind a reasonable doubt. It's the type of proof you act upon in the most important affairs of your life. Basically, so Gray, it's interesting he's saying that. He's sort of saying that, yeah, they've got a lot of good points, but it's got to be the entire thing. You got to believe the entire thing. You can't use oops as an excuse. It's the type of proof you act upon the most important affairs of your life, and you make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the most imperative affair of mine's client's life. It's the type of proof I believe that in 10 years, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, by golly, I did the right thing when I found Kim Potter not guilty, that's beyond reasonable doubt. I can tell you right now. Okay. If I may be bold enough, my suspicion will be if the jury finds her not guilty, they'll regret that for the rest of their lives. They will. When the city explodes, because you can't. You don't allow a drunk driver who had no intention of killing someone to walk just because they're really sorry they didn't realize they were drunk. You can't do that. That's not the argument. And as a caller made the point on Friday, and this point is incredibly well stated, that if you basically don't find her guilty, that you open the door for every police officer to shoot someone whether they want to or not, intentionally or not, and just say, oops, I thought I had my taser. And when they say, well, yeah, that's not a good excuse, you say, Potter says, you know, the jury said that she was innocent because, oopsie. No, it was a mistake, but she's still guilty. When a 7-year-old gets a hold of someone's gun and shoots their brother or sister and kills them, it was a mistake, but someone needs to be held accountable, right? As a matter of fact, if you're going to hold a person accountable in that scenario, then how in the hell can you not hold Potter accountable in this scenario? If you have a kid who's found dad's gun and he's 5-6 years old and fires around and kills someone, and you say to yourself, well, my God, how did the parent leave that gun unattended, loaded? My God, you need to charge the parent for a crime. And I agree. No, you have to. If you can make the argument to make the charge in that case, then how in the world can you say, well, but yeah, I'm just gunning a guy down because she made the mistake of grabbing her service weapon instead of a taser? Well, I mean, like I said, my suspicion is if this jury finds, I mean, as much as the defense team trying to tell me, you're going to feel great about this decision. In 10 years, you're going to feel fantastic. Now, I think that's trying to convince them of that. That's trying to convince them that for them to find his way, they have to go against their basic judgment. That's what my guess would be. He emphasized that Wright was the superseding cause of death when he attempted to flee rather than cooperate with officers. Because I think that's stone cold law in Minnesota. If you try to run from a police officer, gun him down. Wait, no, that's not the law. That's not the law at all. That's not the law in any capacity. As a matter of fact, we do not have the death penalty in Minnesota, nor do we have an instantaneous death penalty delivered by a police officer just because they don't want to have to do the paperwork to chase the guy down. Come on, blam, blam, blam. There we go. Case closed. No, this is a hard case for them because on one side they want to say, well, it was just an accident. But on the other side, they're like, but he deserved it. Come on. Everything after that, the officers did try to stop him, Gray said, also countering an expert witness for the prosecution who testified that the officers would have left Wright leave and arrest him later. That's not protecting the public. That's not serving the public. Okay, how is it protecting the public to gun the guy down in the street? I mean, that's the one thing about the defense team I can't stand is that this is, it almost feels like their argument is, well, God wanted him dead that moment. So, you know, how are we to argue? And if we would have let him go, well, we're not being safe out there. Just ignore the fact that we gunned the guy down. You know, he got gunned down by Kim Potter. Ignore that. But outside of that, he could have done a billion other things. If. Everything after that, the officers did to try to stop him, Gray said, also countering an expert witness. I said, I read that too. They had to stop him, they said. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They really didn't. He wasn't committing crime after crime after crime after crime after crime after crime. Violent, killing, murdering. No, he wasn't doing that stuff. They could have let him go, and they could have tracked him down later. And reminder, the reason why they hadn't been able to track him down was not because of Wright, but because of, wasn't it a paperwork problem within the state? I mean, there's a paperwork issue in the state. That's why they hadn't been able to track him down. It wasn't like he was a criminal mastermind looting the public. No, you guys didn't type in his address correctly, if I'm not mistaken. At least that's what I remember. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. I'll get back into the closing arguments as well as also the jury instructions. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Gary is in Minneapolis, wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Gary.
Yeah, man, I got to talk about that mansion, but I got something else I'm going to talk about. You know, that Rittenhouse, a guy called in, he was Hartman last week, and he said that that's rehearsed, that crime. You don't even see tears on him. And they never called the defendants. It's very rare to testify, so I think that's what they're doing there.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. I've seen a few people comment about Potter's crying and whether or not it was real or not. One of the things I think it is, and it's just something I didn't realize until this trial, is that, yeah, what did Potter do after she shot him? Like I said, did she, oh my God, I accidentally shot this man. Let's try to save this man's life. Nope. Nope. She had a nervous, either temper tantrum, nervous breakdown, however you want to call it, where she basically only was talking about her, I've just murdered someone. And at no point does she seem to show any interest or concern in Dante Wright. None. And as a matter of fact, her officer friends were like, oh, well, maybe we should take her gun away from her. Concerned she might actually shoot herself. That doesn't sound like the mindset of a rational human being. It doesn't sound like someone who's the mindset of someone who's a caring, compassionate person. And so, you know, there are a lot of people that were, you know, it's like I said, I've read a lot about why did she dress that way when she went and testified on the stand and why should she do that? I don't know. All I do know is, you know, she's desperate to stay out of jail. But once again, I'm not saying she didn't make a mistake. Yeah, she clearly did. But there have to be consequences when you murder someone. Because if you don't, the defense team is making the argument, oopsie. There's not an oopsie here. There's a dead person. And whereas your argument is that doesn't matter, it sure as hell does. It sure as hell does. That does matter. I don't know. I've not been impressed with the prosecution in this, but I think that they, I'm from what I've read, I think they've done enough. I think they've done enough. Going back to the prosecution today, Eldridge used Potter's own body-worn camera video to argue that she could not have possibly seen any concern on the face of Sergeant Mikhail Johnson, that he would have been dragged down the street by fleeing right before she pulled the trigger. I want to just talk about that for a quick second, if I may. I have been married to my wife now for near 25 years. I can look at my wife and kind of determine what she's trying to say. We'll go to a party and she wants to leave. I can kind of tell by the facial expression she gives me. Or if she's meeting someone, she can't remember the name of someone. She'll like, yeah, she'll give me a little thing. There are little things like that. I have never looked at, and I know this person better than I know pretty much anyone else. All right. I have never looked at her face and said, wow, she's saying she's terrified of being trapped in this door and dragged down the street and killed. It's clear as the nose on her face. You're arguing that you looked into his eyes
and you saw the concern
about him being dragged. How does he convey that? Can I see that facial expression? Because that's a heck of a facial expression. It's like, well, I better shoot this guy. And once again, was it an accident or did you intend to shoot him? Because you can't play at both sides. You can't say on one side, although, I mean, in this day and age, maybe the jury finds her innocent. But at the same time, she's arguing that it was an accident. On the other side, saying, well, I saw on his face that this was, he was saying to me with his eyes, oh, my God, I'm about to get dragged down the street and I don't know what's going to happen, even though this guy's not about to drive away and I'm not really in any kind of danger of that way. But heck, I need you to stop him and shoot him any way you can. That's a hell of a facial expression, which, by the way, she likely didn't even see because of the way that he was standing and all that good stuff. Eldridge, seriously, how ludicrous is that argument? That's just, like I said, Dante Wright doesn't matter to these people. As Dante Wright does not matter to these people. Black guy gets shot. Their whole argument is, well, he deserved it. It was an accident. He was going to start a crime spree on par with you know, Pol Pot, for God's sakes. I mean, my God. It just is. It's just disturbing as always. That's all it is. It's disturbing as always. And I'm tired of the character assassination of the victim. Because in case you didn't mean it, the victim already has got the worst end of this. She could go spend the rest of her freaking life in jail. But she's alive. Dante Wright is not alive. No matter what punishment she gets, it still pales in comparison. Pales in comparison to what Dante Wright got. So stop acting like he deserved even worse. What, you're going to... I'm not going to say it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Come back. More on the Potter trial when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Going back to Eldridge's closing statements today, they said that this is the prosecutor. She said that we're talking obviously about the Potter case, which is now in the hands of the jury. Eldridge said the case is not about any of the criminal suspicions police had of Wright on Saturday afternoon or that Potter having a good person, adding, even nice people have to obey the law. Which they do. She knew she had a loaded gun on her duty belt, the gun she carried every single day on the job. She carried it on the right side every day for 26 years. And that the weapon she used, that's the weapon she drew. That's the weapon she pointed, and that's the weapon she fired. Members of the jury, it's culpable negligence, and that's reckless handling of a firearm. Which it is. It's the textbook definition. Eldridge walked the jurors through frame-by-frame analysis of the body cameras of Potter and Sergeant Mikhail Johnson, who earlier testified that he feared being dragged as they struggled with Wright in the car. Eldridge attempted to show that Johnson was not in danger before Potter fired. Eldridge repeated several times that Potter killed Wright and was trained well to know the difference between a taser and a gun, and that her actions are not simple mistake, and that the other officers were not in physical danger during the stop. She was aware of the risk of killing someone with that firearm. She disregarded that risk, which she did. As for the accidental nature of Potter having a deadly weapon in her hand, and the defense witness contended, the prosecutor said, "There is no little oopsie. This was not putting the wrong date on a check. This was not entering the wrong password somewhere. This was a colossal screw-up, a blunder of epic proportions. It was precisely the thing she had been warned about for years, and she was trained to prevent it. It was irreversible, and it was fatal." She also cautioned jurors understand that Potter's former colleagues who testified might have been biased towards her because they were fellow members of what they consider to be a police family. How can we ask officers who have known and liked the defendant, Kimberly Potter, for years, have been part of her police family for decades, how can we ask them to be independently assess what happened on April 11th? Eldridge said, "I'm sure most Brooklyn Center police officers would have preferred to not have to be there to testify before you, but they did. They had to, but the further away you get from the bias of the close relationship of the defendant, the clearer things become." And that was actually, I thought, a nice touch. You want to go out there and make sure that they're not being sidetracked in regards to the fact that, the cops said she was good. Well, yeah, the cops are her buddies. Reminder, I mean, her house is in Champlin, or it was in Champlin. Right after she did this, what did the police do? They went out there with someone who was accused of committing a crime, put up a barricade around her house, put up police guards and everything like this. They made sure she was safe. That's not unbiased. That has a ton of bias. They were insanely biased towards her, and that has to be part of the fact. 952-946-6205. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Welcome on in, Brad.
Yes, I would like to wish everybody out in Radio Land a happy Rama Krishma Hanukkah Kwanzaa Navidad Solstice Festus.
Thank you, Brad. The joke gets funnier every year you tell it. I appreciate the phone call. All my best. Happy holidays to you. We don't have to put them. We don't have to put them all into one in one word. But happy holidays. There you go. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Thank you. Right. Appreciate it as always. A more important relationship, the prosecutor argued, is the one between the police officer and their community they serve. However, Eldridge said the defendant shattered that trust. She shattered Dante Wright's heart. She chose right instead of left. She chose the wrong instead of right. She chose her gun and she shot and killed Dante Wright, which is all true. Dante and Eldridge encouraged the jurors to review the videos and handle the taser and handguns that will be available to them during deliberations. She said the videos will show that Officer Anthony Lukey and Sergeant Johnson did not feel that they were in danger, and they are using a proportional amount of force against Wright. They're just trying to keep him from driving away. Once in deliberations, she said, "You have to be able to hold that gun and hold that taser, get a feel for the two, and see how differently they are." As often as Eldridge reminded jurors that Potter killed Wright, Gray let them know that his client made a mistake and didn't commit a crime. Well, outside of the dead body, of course, but sure. Wow. "Understand this," he said. "In the walk of life, everyone makes mistakes. And some of those mistakes are small. Some of them are very serious. She obviously made a mistake. It's called an action error. Nobody's perfect, ladies and gentlemen. This lady made a mistake, and my gosh, a mistake is not a crime." No. There's a lot. I mean, as I pointed out, if a 7-year-old finds a loaded gun and shoots a family member and kills them, is that a mistake? Of course it is. Is there a crime? Yes. And like I said, if you're going to charge the parents in that case, how in the hell do you not charge, convict Potter in this case? He also had drove home Wright's role of creating what Gray called more than once chaos when he was arrested. He really wanted to get away. He knew he was guilty of the weapons violation. He didn't want to go to jail and run the risk of a criminal case. If. Gray also stood up for the reputation of the officer who testified for the state, as well as the prosecution who backed all of Potter's actions in the shooting scene. They're the kind of individuals that lie or give a false opinion. No. Actually, yeah, the point the prosecutor made is that these people are too close to her. And they clearly were testifying to try to get her off the hook. clearly would be. Let me ask you this. Say if it was a security guard. And the security guard had a gun on one side and a taser on the other. And they found some person who had come in the building, wasn't supposed to be there, might have been there for nefarious reasons, they can't say for sure, but was trying to leave. And the individual, instead of grabbing their taser, grabbed their gun and shot them. Now, under that scenario, would these same police officers have come in there? Hey, no problem. You're okay. Oops. Sometimes they're small mistakes. Sometimes they're big ones, right? Oopsie. That was a big mistake. But a mistake, we're going to let you go. No. They would have arrested the security guard and said, you should have known the difference between your taser and a gun. And if a security guard gets held to that standard, a cop sure as hell should be too. Now, these officers, like I said, in the days afterwards, they created a fortress around her house to protect her. Because they didn't want the black people coming up here being angry in the neighborhood. Everything they've done is to protect her. Please. My God, the actions they took at the scene. Taking the gun away from her. Preventing. Everything they've done is to protect her. Please, stop acting like we're all idiots. Will ya? Summing up, Gray said the prosecution failed in every element, miserably failed. Kim Potter is not guilty of these crimes. I love that's more frantic pleading with the jury. That's just plea. Come on, man. She was wrong. We all know it, right? In rebuttal, prosecutor Matthew Frank emphasized that Wright died of the gunshot wound from a weapon fired by Potter and said a mistake is not a defense. The judge will not give you an instruction that says a person is not guilty if they committed a mistake. That's not the law, no matter how often the defense says it was a mistake, Frank says. He also wanted the jurors to understand who is truly responsible for Wright's death. To an absurd extent, Potter now attempts to argue that he caused his own death, said Frank, who drew several failed objections from the defense attorneys. I want you to continue to see if you accept that argument that he caused his own death. We have to accept that at any time a person does not meticulously follow demands of a police officer, they can shoot to death and there would be no consequences for that officer. That's absurd. Which it is. Monday's proceedings began with Judge Regina Chu instructing the jurors on how to apply the law as they contemplate whether Potter is guilty on either both counts, first or second degree manslaughter. Once the closing arguments were complete, the two final jurors chosen for the selection process will dismissed. And once again, I think that oops is not an answer. I believe that was one of the things that they put forward, is that she can't just say oops and okay, no problem. The ramifications of this, I mean, he said it was the counterpoint by the prosecution that if you find her not guilty under the defense's argument, that basically that if a person does not, from that point forward, if a person does not do everything a police officer tells them to do, they can shoot you to death, kill you in the streets, and they can just say, oops, mistake. And there's no consequences. The ramifications of this trial are pretty substantial. And trust me when we say that the Republicans in the Senate will never allow something like this to be corrected. Because the reality is they if Potter is found not guilty, they will be frantically trying to get Potter to come on out and do a campaign event with us out here. We'd love to have you out here. Because she shot Dante Wright and got away with it because in their mind, being black is a good kill. And so you're asking the senators, the Republican senators, to go through there and say, you know what? No. We can't have this kind of standard. They're never going to do it because they will always take the side of the cop, even unless it's a white guy in Edina. Unless it's a white guy in Minnetonka or Wayzata or Maple Grove, then all of a sudden, whoa, what are you doing? They can't do that. But a black guy in Brooklyn Center? Please. You cannot have this precedent established, especially knowing that the Republicans will do nothing to solve this. Oh, they'll come on out. They'll get their earnest face. Well, we really need to. We got to do something. And then they'll schedule no hearings. They'll schedule no public comments. They will schedule no votes. And they'll shrug their shoulders quietly away and say, see, problem solved. You can kill a black person. All you have to do is say, oops. You can kill a black person if they don't do everything a police officer says. And that you can kill someone and just say, oopsie, I got my gun and my taser. And that's quality police. That's quality police work in their mind.
It's very difficult, Matt. You don't understand. It's, you know, as the Potter trial showed us, you know, it's hard to determine if it's a gun or a taser. You know, how are you supposed to hold these people accountable?
We have got to prevent from having a police force that is an all judgment. I mean, it's not freaking Judge Dredd where the judges run around the country. At least it's not supposed to be where the judges run around the city and just administer death penalties when they seem fit. The concept of that comic was supposedly a dystopian future where the police are some sort of above all else organization. Most police officers are very good people. They are, hands down. Most police officers wouldn't screw up in a gun. Most police officers would not screw up the difference between the taser and the gun. This is a case where, let's just be honest, in any other professional field, if it just wasn't a cop, the person would have already pled guilty. But here we are having a discussion on whether or not she's going to be found guilty, even though the facts of the case are not in dispute. The argument here is, can a police officer murder someone for not following all orders? Can a police officer murder someone and then just say, oopsie, I thought I had my gun and my taser instead of my gun? Can a police officer shoot someone and then not offer any sort of assistance to the individual they just shot in the heart and make the argument saying, well, I was really sorry? That's what's on the stake here. And if you do not find Potter guilty, my God, I can't. The concept of a policing will change dramatically in this state to where there are no consequences. This takes my scenario, the argument that I have made where the drunk cop in a bar who's off duty says, I'm going to go get my gun and shoot you, drives drunk home, gets his gun, drives drunk back to the bar, gets in there and shoots the guy. And I've said all the way the current law is all he has to do is say, I was scared. I was scared, and there's at least a 50-50 chance he's going to walk. It'll be almost 100% if the victim was black. But if you allow Potter off the case, off the hook, and not hold her accountable, then at that point, you can just walk in and start shooting anyone you want to and say, oops, I thought it was my taser. I think the only saving grace is that you can't shoot twice. But knowing that, police officers will do a headshot or do a heart shot and just shoot them and hope they die and just say, oops. And then we do have Judge Freaking Dredd. We do have a society where we have people who are unaccountable to anything. Scares me to death. I'm going to be honest with you. It scares me to death that this is where we're at. And right now, my gut feeling tells me she's going to be found not guilty. We'll have to see. Maybe some of the points of the defense team kind of make me think that they are a little concerned about this, so I'll have to wait to see how the jury comes out. But there was one victim that day. That was Dante Wright. Dante Wright would be alive if Kim Potter would have grabbed her taser instead of her gun. Likely would be. Likely would be. And that undeniable reality, that undeniable fact, doesn't seem to matter. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Once again, most cops are good cops. Most cops wouldn't mistake their taser or their gun for their taser. They wouldn't. And here's the deal: is if she gets found innocent, do you think they're going to care at all about Dante Wright, or will they spit on his grave and say he got what he deserved? Of course they will. They'll act like this is vindication. See, we should be able to murder someone in the street no matter what. That's what my guess is going to be. We'll have to see what happens, what the verdict is. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of remorse, no matter what, if she's found guilty or not guilty. That killing a human being doesn't matter to most people today, I guess. Wow. Authorities say a suspicious package found at Ramsey County Courthouse was designed to look like an improvised explosive device. In addition, the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office says the device was placed with the intent of terrorizing individuals at the courthouse. According to the Sheriff's Office, deputies were called to the courthouse on West Kellogg Boulevard at about 7 a.m. The incident caused the courthouse to temporarily be evacuated and closed. Traffic was also diverted. Members of the St. Paul Police Department's bomb squad, as well as the hazardous city's fire department, recovered the package. The Sheriff's Office says the courthouse and the streets were reopened about 9 a.m. So, not sure exactly. How does someone know what an IED is supposed to look like? That's a little weird. Now, in the Potter trial world, someone could say, well, oops, I dropped it. I didn't mean it to terrorize people. Do you think anyone would let this person go? Nope. 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 They charge him. I'm just making an observation. Just making an observation. Final note here. Once again, the AM 950 calendars are out and available. They are. And I'm very proud of them. It's once again a calendar. There you go. There you go. Now, how about that picture? I'm showing that on the camera right now. Lovely. I was taking up at Leif Erickson Park, the Rose Garden up there. Just lovely. Up in Duluth. That's June. We had so much success with the calendar last year that we went out and we made another one. And surprisingly, even with all my health problems, I still apparently got out enough to take enough photos to do this, which I was kind of surprised. I thought there was no chance in the world when I started putting the photos together. I said, I actually might be able to pull this off. It is a lovely calendar. You will enjoy this. Now, to get the calendar, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Go to the membership page. You make a donation. We send you a calendar as a thank you. And so there you go. Absolutely wonderful. I hope you enjoy them. We've already shipped out a ton. We're going to be shipping out more. If you want to get one, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And I should mention, tomorrow on the show, I got a lot of holiday messages we're going to get through that came in with some of these donations. Make sure you're listening for that. Tomorrow, our last day before the holidays, so make sure you're here for that. Native Roots Radio, I am awake. That's coming up next. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.